Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, six-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's like a Christmas morning every time we get to talk to Olin Krutz, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Olin, I'm sure you're exhausted from all the conversation we had on the postgame. My God, Olin didn't stop talking. Thankfully, we can pick it back up this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, that was a great postgame. We should do that more often.
We were delayed by
Abbreviated, right?
The Cubs game. That's right.
You don't abbreviate Olin on a day like yesterday, right?
No, he was.
Thank goodness we didn't have to talk about that for very long, what we watched yesterday. But it was interesting game to watch the Chicago Bears, because you came away really disappointed in the loss, right? You thought if they ran the ball and won the takeaway battle, they would win the game pretty easily against a quarterback who's really struggling, right? Anthony Richardson, just rewatching some of the game, almost a comedy of errors he was making out there. And the Bears still found a way to lose to a quarterback who's really struggling and a team without their best defensive player. So just a disappointing day all around, from the coach's decision, from the Bears not being able to run the ball, from some of Caleb's decisions, even though you can argue for a young quarterback, there was growth on that film when you watch it. But you come away thinking, man, that is one, if we're talking about this run against these bad teams, and maybe the Bears are a playoff team this year, that is one you do come away disappointed from watching.
Where was your confidence dented the most? We talked all morning so far about, well, you look at the general manager, you look at the head coach, you look at the play caller, you look at the quarterback, you look at the offensive line. At least the offensive line is not at the top of the list necessarily this week, Olin, but in what aspect was your faith challenged the most yesterday?
I think watching the game, you know, some of the decisions from the sideline, they have to bother you if you're just watching the Chicago Bears play that game. You know, starting with, you know, Santos attempting a field goal that maybe he doesn't have enough leg for, right? And you know that before the game, the special teams coach tells the head coach where he can make that from. And Pat Manley can speak to this better than I can. But just the fact that he came up short there on that first field goal attempt, didn't have enough leg, and then you give him good field position. And obviously, you know, are we going for two? Are we going for one? You know, it's just some of those decisions there you come away disappointed by, because you know, David, going into the season, that the offensive line is not strong, you know, and then, you know, Nate Davis is down, so you got Pryor in there. And you know your young quarterback is going to struggle sometimes. So I think for me, I come away from that game thinking that, you know, Coach Eberflus, to win that game, he has to be a big advantage for us, right? He has to win on the defense side of the ball, and we got to make the right decisions from the sideline. It just kind of seemed that there was more confusion than there needed to be.
Dan Pompey told us in the pregame that the head coach had spent a lot of time with the offensive line, a lot of time in their meeting room during the week. And frankly, one of the great disappointments of the game for me was this idea that they did not have a power running game. You know, they still were doing a lot of this kind of cutesy stuff. Even at one point when they lined up under center, they tried to do an end around with DJ Moore. I just didn't understand why it was all about trickery, especially when you're down at the goal line. You know, like, let's see if you can knock them back and you can get a yard. Let's try and see if you can do that. And I just felt very let down by the results of all that.
Yeah, I think that you go into that game and you know that the Colts have been challenged all week, right? To stop the run, the defensive line, get your pads low, get penetration, change the line of scrimmage. And you can see that the Colts came to that game with an aggressive mentality. But you need to expect that. You need to expect that as an offensive lineman. You need to know that they're going to get challenged the same way you would get challenged if you can't run the ball. They're working on the things that they have to stop the run. Gus Bradley is working on his defensive line, staying low, getting across the line of scrimmage. Even then, right, Mully, if you watch that game, you're going to give Roschon Johnson more than 8 carries, I think, right? After I watch him run the ball a few times down the field, a little too many times he gets 8 yards, and then we're running some kind of boot, like you're talking about, motion, trying to get the ball outside, trying to run boot, trying to run around. If you just look at that, you know, that series down there by the goal line, everyone's talking about with the option, right? Why are we in a three wide receiver set that whole time down there? Why don't we go big? Why don't we put big guys on the field with Mercedes Lewis? We should have a Carter versus Lewis down there. DeAndre Carter should be trying to hold our edge on the 1.5 yard line, right? That's a problem to me. You're three receivers too much. And I understand you're trying to go substitution. You're trying to keep them in nickel. You don't want them to go big. Look, they went big. They had a big guy on DeAndre Carter. You ended up wrong there. So, you know, you go wildcat there. You motion your quarterback out. You run downhill. You get to the 1 yard line. You stay in three wide receivers. And then you end up trying to do an option. That's, to me, that's just for an example of what you're saying, Mully, right? You go to Indianapolis, you go play the worst run defense in the league, and you say to yourself, I'm just going to go big, and I'm going to run the ball down their throat and not make mistakes, and we may come away with the win for this game. But I think they got to go back. You know, the other thing I watch, and it's just kind of a pet peeve, but, you know, Matt Pryor on the goal line, he's not in a three-point stance. Right, he's in a 2-point the whole time. I know he's doing the silent count, but get in a 3-point stance, get your pads low, get your butt up a little higher, get your back flat, get your pad under the defensive lineman, and let's move guys back, right? Whatever plan you came up with, you have Coleman Shelton one-on-one with Grover Stewart, right? You got out-coached down there. You just did. Like if I turn the film on, you just, when I went to watch it, when DeAndre Carter's on Tyquan Lewis, when Shelton's one-on-one with Grover Stewart, you just got out coached. DeForest Buckner is not in the game, guys. Right. Double team Grover Stewart. It seems simple to me.
You're exactly right. And you said it, out coached. You wonder how in the world the Bears came up with the plan to call 60 pass plays against the NFL's worst rushing defense out of 84 snaps. So, Olin, I ask you this. You mentioned Coleman Shelton. After the game, he publicly questioned the call and what they were going against on the 4th-and-goal option play. You know the players felt the chaos on the sidelines when Matt Eberflus needed to burn a timeout when he wasn't ready to go for two, and he called for the extra point to be kicked rather than go for two. At what point, after a loss like yesterday, do players start to question who's in charge and the decisions being made?
But they know who's in charge, right? And obviously, Coleman Shelton, I think I kind of heard what he said and then, you know, try to backpedal after. And look, I saw the look. It wasn't the greatest looking option nor the greatest call, but you can do a better job, right? You can, they have a trio block there. It's called a trio. It's the center, the right guard, the right tackle, working everybody up to the linebackers, right? Stay on your feet, right? Like if I'm a coach this morning and I hear Coleman Shelton say that on to the media, I tell him, stay on your feet and make your block. Right. It doesn't mean you all have to be on the ground. They don't have the greatest look, but the look wasn't terrible. You can still try to make your blocks. Stay on your feet. You're all on the ground. Make your blocks and at least give the running back a one-on-one chance to score there. And this is what I'm. This is why that bugs me a little bit, David. At that moment in that locker room, at that time, someone's got to take accountability, even though it may not be all your fault.
Right.
Right. There are times when you say, look, I got to make my block there. Like that. Like that's it. That's it. We all got to get better here. Other people like me will come on. I have nothing else to do. I'm an old retired center. I'll tell you how bad the play was. Right? Like I'll do it. Like you don't have to do it as a starting center for the Bears. Right? Everyone's moving in the right direction. There were things when you're watching it. Right? You're watching Caleb Williams hit Romo Odunze on the shot after one of Richardson's interception where you're just laughing at the TV. Like, oh, how did he throw that, right? He hits Romo Odunze on a shot. Then he throws the interception. But after the interception, you're wondering how a young quarterback would respond. Well, he responds pretty well, right? They go on a long drive. They get all the way down to the goal line, and then those plays come up. So as a team, at that moment in that locker room, you're not helping anybody by bringing up, oh, maybe the play wasn't the best play. really disappointed that somebody would say something like that, or even kind of come off as saying something like, oh man, I don't know about option on the 1 yard line. The play was installed. You should be ready to run it against any look, right? Any look. You are the starting center for the Chicago Bears. You go out there, you say, look, all I got to worry about is making my way through the line of scrimmage and getting a block on that linebacker, and I need to do a better job of that.
So, Olin, we talked in the pregame about the fact that Vegas predicted 70% for winless teams, and sure enough, the Rams end up with a victory over the Niners, which is kind of a stunner because of how beaten up they are, but you don't forget they got a pretty good coach and they got a pretty good quarterback. They come in here next. After that, it's Carolina. Carolina won with the red rifle, for God's sake. They had Andy Dalton starting, and he threw three touchdowns. I'm just wondering, when you look at the Bears heading to whatever it is, four consecutive games against teams that started 0-2 and you lose the first one, what happens now? What changes? I think the Bears are favored over the Rams by 2.5 points to open the betting line. I'm just curious, what happens now as you prepare for this week? What do you have to improve on? What do you start with?
Yeah, you better lock the hell in, right? You better lock the hell in and realize that you like these games are not guaranteed. And like you said, man, McVay and Stafford, always a formidable pair, right? And Andy Dalton replacing Bryce Young, it's the worst news you got as a Chicago Bears fan, right? So like all these games after the team we watch, now the defense at home, the Chicago Bears defense at home is going to be tough for anybody, right? So again, we talk about, winning the games, having Caleb Williams grow a little bit. There were conversions on third downs. We talked about, they threw the ball too much. A lot of that he was checking to sometimes, right? So he has to improve on, game management. Okay, like I know it looks like a good pass looker here, but just run the ball downhill. So you got to focus. You got to get a little better. You got to stay together, right? We just talked a little bit about what was coming out of that locker room from Indianapolis there. Everyone kind of, jumping ship a little bit. Just get back together. Get back in the building. A win, like you guys know, in the NFL, they beat the Rams next week. We're on here telling them how great they were, right? Amazing they won a game. You're 2-2. You're right back on track again. But like you know from what we watched yesterday, this offense has got to get going. They got to put points on the board. Caleb's got to protect the ball. We all know how you win and lose games in the NFL, right? We all know what really matters when you're playing the game, especially when these teams are so close and you're playing teams that you can beat or you can lose. That's the thing about the Chicago Bears this year. They can lose to anybody, right? They're not going to beat the better teams, but they can compete against a lot of these teams. That's why we all thought they would be, if they made the playoffs, they would be like the last team in, right? That's what I thought. I thought if they did make the playoffs, they'd be the last team in because of how good their defense is. So the defense has got to continue to play on the level they're playing at, and the offense has to continue. We talked about on the pregame show, getting a little better every week, getting a little better at the details, learning the offense. Shane Waldron, like, look, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have went three wide receivers down there for four downs by the goal line against a team who lost their all-pro defensive tackle.
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. All right, Olin, so tell me this. When you hear from Matt Eberflus after the game, I know he's just talking to the media, but he's talking to the fans. I know he's not talking the same thing to his team, or at least I hope not. When he says there were positives to be taken away, that there was good things, that there were good things that happened, how does a head coach after that disaster go up there and say that? What was your reaction to what he had to say? And do you think he's telling players something different?
I'm sure he is. And you would hope so, right, David? I mean, when after a game like that, to be honest with you, I hardly listen to what anybody says after that game because I know one or two things are going to happen because the game was so ugly. Some people are going to bail a little bit, right? Like we heard, and people are just going to say things that don't even make sense to you after the game you just watched, right? And I think that's what you're watching now. Like you said, you want to see him come up there and say, man, we just at this point, we just got to get better, right? We got to win games like that. We all know there are positives on every film, right? The film, we say in the NFL, it's never as bad as you think it is. And it's never as good as you think it is, right? And the Chicago Bears, just watch it. I watched the first three quarters again this morning. there is truth in that, right? There is truth that there is positives on that film. But when you don't realize you got to go for two, right? When you make the mistakes that we saw made on the sideline yesterday, some of those things you got to leave for, like you're saying, what is he saying to his players? Some of the things you got to leave for the players, right? Like you go in the room and you say, Caleb, this is what, when he had his meeting with, I don't know, how many positions does he meet with now? Linebackers, quarterbacks, offensive line. You know, if I'm Coach Morgan, I'm like, Coach Flews, man, appreciate it, but you don't know anything about opening your foot, getting your pad under somebody, straining through their chest, and getting your hands inside and regrouping, right? I have to do my job. If you need to sit in here with me, just get rid of me, right? If you need to sit in my room and help me coach my offensive line, you can just send me on my way. Because I don't need that right now. I don't need to, I'm a professional offensive line coach, right? I'm supposed to be one of the best in the world. I'm supposed to be the best 32 offensive line coaches in the world. If you feel like you have to watch over me, just you can go ahead. And if you feel like you have to announce it, if you have to announce that you have been in the offensive line room, you can go in and move on from me. So they got a lot to work on in that building. A loss like that stinks. A lot of people are not going to be happy, and you hope so. You hope there's a lot of people in a bad mood up there at Halas Hall this week, and to get this stuff moving in the right direction, because like you guys talked about, they did lose this game. A lot of things were bad. That was an ugly loss. About an ugly loss as I can remember doing as long as I've been an analyst of watching a football game. It was a comedy of errors to watch. It was an ugly loss, but you got to get back. You got to get back going because like we talked about, you have beatable teams with the defense you put on the field.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Olin, we'll let you go. Just curious, did we learn their offensive identity? We were wondering what they were. Do we now know they're kind of a finesse passing team?
Yeah, I know what their identity is. It's a team with a rookie quarterback who they're trying to find. They lost, you know, one of their best wide receivers in Keenan Allen. They lost their one of their best weapons. That wide receiver group, as you can see with Roma Dunze yesterday, DJ Moore making plays, DeAndre Carter out there, that wide receiver group, as we thought coming into the season, is the strength of their team, right? Their offense is the identity on their offense. You can line people up. You've got to cover someone one-on-one, and we'll beat you there. Now, they're missing Keenan Allen, the original plan. They're missing that guy right now. That's why they go three wide receivers there down on the goal line. Like you're saying, to their offensive coordinator, that is their identity. He thinks if he puts wide receivers on the field, he'll scare the team into thinking that they'll throw the ball and somebody won't leave a DN one-on-one with DeAndre Carter and he has to hold the edge there. So, like you're talking about, they got to make a little adjustment. We talked about in the pregame. What is their plan without Blossing game, right? What is their plan without their fullback? Well, you saw it. They put Everett there in the backfield and he's not a fullback, right? He played fullback yesterday and he is not a fullback. So, yes, here's the thing about guys. When we were a great running team, the years we were, 2005, 2006, 2001, the years we could really run the ball and I played, the wide receivers were tough as hell, man. Moose Muhammad, right? Desmond Clark, Jonathan Gilmore, tight end. It takes more than the offensive line to just say, I'm going to line up, I'm going to pound the ball down your throat. It takes 11 guys who believe in the run game. It takes 11 guys in the NFL. If you watch some of that film yesterday, you see safeties making tackles. You see guys that the receivers and the tight ends are responsible for stopping the run game, even when the O-line is getting movement. So sometimes you build your skill players up and you forget, oh, they are a part of the run game too. If we want to be a power run team, they have to be a part of our culture, our identity. And I just don't think that they're built that way right now. I don't know if they can get it moving in that direction because they built a team that's supposed to scare you by spreading you out and getting the ball in their skill positions' hands.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Olin.
Thank you, guys.
That is Olin Krutz. A lot of good stuff there. We got Biggs time next. Mully and Haw on the score.
The Grand Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. With Mully and Haw. Biggs time. The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo your hometown tire. Check them out, Otero.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it was a disappointing loss. I don't think there's any way around it. 21-16 loss at Indianapolis, and really just a game that was characterized by mistakes. It was an ugly game. Both teams, a lot of bad plays, a lot of penalties. What's your takeaway as to the main reason the Bears lost that game?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that they failed and came up short yesterday. We've certainly established an identity on offense. That's that they're a finesse football team, which I don't think is probably the goal they set out for, but that's where it's at right now, and that's where it's going to be until they do something on the field to change that. So you've got the absolute disaster at the goal line there, where they're first and goal at the four, and they're not able to come away with points. And then, you know, a failure to have more big plays. Yeah, they're on the field for 84 plays, okay? They've had more plays than that in a regulation game, non-overtime, four times ever. And they can't even crack 400 yards, right? And so it was, even when they had good drives, it was a little disjointed. And then they gave up, they played relatively well against Anthony Richardson. You thought that it might look kind of ugly for the Colts offense, and it did. But Richardson came away with just a couple big plays, and the Colts were able to chip away with Jonathan Taylor. He eventually gets over 100 yards, and the Bears leave disappointed. This is a game they really needed to win. The Colts hadn't been able to stop Pop Warner teams from running the football, and the Bears had 63 yards on 28 attempts.
How surprised were you that Shane Waldron was as ineffective calling plays as he was, and how much responsibility do you think you put at his feet? We can talk about divvying up blame and what went wrong. Brad, I look at the first and goal from the four as just a microcosm of how poorly conceived the entire game plan was all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to criticize the fourth and one play, and it should be criticized. And they had three cracks at it from close to the goal line before it, and it didn't work out. You talk to people around the league, they weren't real impressed with what Seattle did running the football when Waldron was there. A couple good backs and Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Look at the roster, the way it's set up here. They've got wide receivers. They've got Caleb. I mean, ultimately, I think when we get to the end of the season, instead of saying what kind of growth did the running game take, you're going to say, hey, what kind of growth did the quarterback Caleb Williams have in this season? But to have an effective season to win football games, you've got to be able to run the football right now. And they are a miserable failure in that regard. There's two teams with less rushing yards right now in the NFL, and one of them has their third game tonight. That's the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm just curious, Brad, when we hear from the coach after the game, he talked about how encouraged that he was, encouraged by the locker room, said they had their head moving forward and their eyes moving forward and they're going to get better this week. I got to be honest with you, it just was the wrong tone to strike after that poor a performance. And it made me wonder if all the kind of all the positivity, all of the feeling that this guy was coming into his own as a head coach was sort of wasted time, effort, energy. It seemed as if, you know, they had basic function problems. You know, you don't know that you're going for two, and then by the time you got to call a timeout in order to run a failed 2-point conversion. It just, there were just different moments in the game that are bad and make you wonder about the operation.
Well, you talk about, you know, sideline management. They had they had the call in Houston a week ago that they never should have challenged, that they threw a flag on. And then this situation where they've got poor communication and, you know, if it's up in the booth or down on the sideline, or probably more likely a combination of both, that's got to be tightened up. And that was a long drive. Okay, that was a drive that I think took 7 minutes off the clock. It was a lot of plays. But as that thing's starting to unfold and you're getting closer to the midway point of the fourth quarter, you've got to have that clearly communicated, hey, coach, touchdown here and we got to go for two. Or Eberflus has got to know that. Or Eberflus has got to ask. And that's not why they lost the football game, losing that timeout right there. But you see stuff like that, and that's bothersome. And I will credit Eberflus in the post game. He owned that completely. He did not try to sidestep that. He did not try to brush that aside. I think he owned that and said that they've all got to be better in terms of that blown timeout there. But just you can't run the football. You've got a rookie quarterback. You're still kind of searching for the right fit on offense. You know, they don't want to be in a position where they're asking Caleb Williams to drop back and sling it 57 times a ball game. But that's where they found themselves yesterday. And Eberflus talked about them being committed to the run, which they were more committed than the numbers would tell you immediately, right? Before that final possession, when they're crunched for time and they got to get multiple scores, they had 46 dropbacks and 26 handoffs. So that takes out the scramble by Caleb. And that's not completely out of whack when they just weren't having any success running the ball. You know, they tried Roschon Johnson more. They gave him some carries, which is understandable. But again, if you can't run the ball on the Colts, I don't know where you're going to be able to run it. Although, heading into this weekend, the Rams, who they have next, and the Panthers, who follow that, were nearly as bad as Indianapolis in terms of run defense.
Latu getting the strip sack fumble of Caleb Williams, big play, obviously. And you got to the bottom of it talking to Cole Kmet. He was isolated one-on-one. I know they were in max protect, Brad. What else can you tell us about how that just happened? Because at first glance, you're like, why doesn't he have help against an edge rusher who is a speedy guy? You might want to give him some help. Kmet just lost that battle. But should he have ever been in it one-on-one to begin with?
Well, you know, you look at it and you say, well, geez, why is he there? They had max protect, so they had seven guys in to block on that play. And it's a situation where Latu's in lined up wide. Okay, he's real wide there, and Cole's the in guy on the line. So it's how do you gonna move the left tackle outside of Cole? That doesn't really work. It's a situation where it was a play fake. They were And Caleb was under center, and they're trying to sell that inside run there. And so in selling the inside run, I think Cole maybe went a little too hard inside, which in just a split second there gave Latu what he needed to try to get around the edge, which he was able to do. And Caleb did the right thing. He stepped up in the pocket, climbed the pocket a little bit, trying to create a little bit more time and space, and it just it ran out there. So he's so wide out there, I don't know how you get that other guy there. It's kind of a one-on-one thing, and Cole regrets it. He knows he should have been better.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. How closely will you be watching the Keenan Allen situation here? I was going to say, is he headed toward injured reserve? Is there any way of you can't post date it in the NFL?
Yeah, right. It's in MLB where you can backdate it to the last time you saw the guy on the football field. So I would certainly hope that he's not headed there after missing two games now. But, Keenan Allen was on the field in Houston a week ago, even though he was inactive, and excused from this trip for personal reasons, and it just, he hasn't practiced. I don't know. It's something just seems a little askew there. I wish I had more information. I don't. But they miss him, right? And fortunately, they were able to get Cole Kmet going in the middle of the field, which is where you expect Keenan Allen to do some work. They finally got Kmet involved in the passing game, tied to career high with 10 catches. But again, that's a real mediocre Colts defense, especially with DeForest Buckner out. And when they face better defenses, they're really going to miss a guy like Keenan Allen if he's not back in action on the field and healthy enough to perform at a high level.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. 30 seconds, Biggsy. Did anything that happened yesterday change your prediction or your projection of how good the Bears can be this season?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, well, you lose a game like this, it might be an uphill battle to get to 10 wins, which I thought 10 was within range for these guys. So, yeah, I mean, the run game's just really poor right now. Again, no one sets out to establish the identity of being a finesse team. And that's where the Bears are. I mean, and that's like the kind way of putting it, right? Okay, so, I'd say probably a little bit.
All right, buddy, thank you. We appreciate it.
Safe travels.
Have a great day, guys.
Don't be late for that flight.
Sounds like he's at the airport.
They're calling for him.
Yeah.
Brad Biggs, please report to Terminal 3.
Now.
Gate 7, your flight is leaving.
We're not holding it any longer. Seriously.
We know you're a big deal back home, but we got to go.
Your first class seat awaits you.
Here's your cigar.
From Indy. All right. Enough jokes.
Which is better, the flight and the plane that Biggsy is jumping on right now or the White Sox team plane?
Oh.
Sorry. It was just there.
You
brought up the Jet.
We had a texter, the Gridiron Assassin, who checked in and said, can we please refer to them as Jerry Reinsdorf's White Sox so that the brand isn't as damaged as his surname?
Wow.
I like that idea. So the Jerry Reinsdorf plane would be a better way of wording that question.
Sorry.
All right. We're going to get to your calls. We're opening up the phone lines. We're going to talk to DJ Moore at 8, but we've got some calls coming next. Mully and Hall on the score.
Got our first two passing touchdowns of the year. Obviously, which is feels good, exciting to get that going finally in the second half of this, this game. So having the offense, identity is, I think it is brewing. I think it is a lot closer than, it was the week before or weeks before. And I think us figuring that out is going to get this thing going. I think we're right there. On all the plays, we were just simply, one small detail or, that's myself included on some of these, some of these plays that happened today. But we're one small detail, a lot of these plays that, like I've said in many other interviews, that these small details always add up to be something bigger.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the quarterback. That is Caleb Williams' assessment of where the Bears are at. Do you see that? Do you see them getting better? Is that what the takeaway is?
I see Caleb Williams maybe took a step because of all the passes he threw, 33 of 52, 363, two picks, two touchdowns. But Mully, identity-wise, don't you want smash mouth, not soft shoe? Don't you want to be a physical football team instead of a finesse football team, especially in Chicago, especially here? I think so.
Okay.
I think you do. Don't you agree?
Listen, man.
They're not headed in that direction, though.
That's the problem.
They're running in place.
They are.
The running in circles. I don't know if you can do both. Which metaphor applies most?
It's not a compliment to say that they've become a finesse team.
They're not running downhill.
No, they're not running downhill.
That's the problem.
Hey, if you're listening, or you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, it's presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and we should let you know to tune in today, starting at 2 p.m. for the debut show for Spiegel and Holmes on The Score. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes will continue reacting to the Bears' loss at Indy. They'll be joined by Kurt Warner at 3, love Kurt Warner, and Jalen Johnson at 4:30.
Big day.
Yes.
Big day for the afternoon show.
No doubt.
Big day for Spiegel and Holmes. Jalen Johnson, 4:30. That's a little bit earlier than usual, so you don't want to miss that either.
Let's get to the phone lines. Barry is on the road. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, David and Mully. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Thanks for waiting for us,
Barry. Hey. Hey, you know I am. Hey, you know what? Like the gentleman that jumped on there, Justin Fields is milking the sand. We can't get that back. Okay?
Yes. Yep.
I enjoyed the 363 yards, the 110 passes over the last two weeks. I get tired of people just running up in there and trying to just run the ball. It's a blend. It's a baby. It's infancy. Incremental. That's what they've been saying, polls and people fools. Mother, you said it in the pick six. You got it right because I got disappointed listening to everything up until the extra point. Okay? I'm enjoying it. And hey, take the baby, nurse the baby, let it learn to walk. Let it learn to run. And that's what I believe. All that stuff about Smash Mouth, I guess those days are gone. We want to see the Bears in the new modern-day NFL. That's why you got rid of Justin Fields, because he couldn't see down the field. I'm encouraged
fair
by
enough,
what this
Barry.
Guy is doing.
Yeah, Barry,
that's a fair point.
Yeah, remember what they said, too. They felt that there was this idea that that you couldn't take over and have what was special to win at the end of a game, that you needed that in order to win consistently in the NFL. So, you know, you'd like to see more of the special.
You would like to see more of the special. I do think that coming away from that game and being down on Caleb Williams and longing for Justin Fields is the wrong reaction. You can react however you wish, but that's not my overwhelming takeaway. The overwhelming takeaway is the Bears have an identity crisis on offense, and being a finesse team is not the answer.
Squeeze in Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Okay, so real quick, Justin Fields, like, first and foremost, a glacier doesn't form like a lake. Like, you know, that we're watching a passing quarterback form when we traded Justin Fields. I understand Justin Fields had a couple of years experience under his belt, so it's still going to look a little different with Caleb being a rookie. Second, the Bears need to take some of their own advice. Shane Waldron, you don't have to be the superstar, man. If you can't scheme open a 5-yard pass to get your quarterback in rhythm, you don't need to be an offensive coordinator. Why are you trying to be pretty in the run game? Okay, we all know pressure defeats that type of cute stuff, okay? If your linemen can't put their hands in the ground and push forward at least a yard or foot, then then Nate Davis, somebody needs to put a microphone in front of him and wonder why and figure out why he hasn't been practicing. Caleb, yeah. Back to Caleb, you know, in the press conferences, okay, now I don't want to say he's, you know, calling people out or maybe he's holding people accountable, but he's right. That first interception, like you said, you know, he alluded, okay, told the dude that I'm going to come back to you. Okay, those plays have to be made to help your young rookie quarterback. Shane Waldron, once again, the line can't block that guy you tried to have Komet block. So why are you trying to put Komet out there to block? Then you have the meaning of DeAndre Carter looks like a toddler trying to block a grown man in goal line. So I just feel like, you know, the coaching got to get out of their way. The offensive line needs to figure something out. The defensive line, if there's one point on the defense that's questionable, is the defensive line. It's not because of lack of effort. It's because they're not as talented as they needed to be when we had a lot of big-name free agents out there for Ryan Poles to sign instead of keeping Baylor Jones. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things to be frustrated about, but I just say, like, in my prediction before the year, I said that there will be attrition, that the offense will be have to gel and come together. Mm-hmm. Well, there's attrition, and then offense has to gel and come together. So as a Bear fan, I'm still being patient. I'll trade that Indianapolis loss for a Jacksonville victory down in London. Okay.
Sounds great. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Great stuff. We've got DJ Moore joining us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.